back, everybody, to the Android App Addict Show. This is episode number 438. This is the door-to-door Geeks app depository, where he deposits the apps that he finds throughout the week for you to enjoy and or hate, whatever. He finds them, you decide. How you doing, Dor? And I'm Eric. How you doing, Dor?
I'm doing pretty good. I will admit, things are a little bit crazy. I tried to get crafty, snappy, ingenuitive here right before the show, and unfortunately that meant I had to restart my Chrome browser, and I completely forgot, when I restart my Chrome browser, anything that's open in incognito tabs does not come back.
Why are you using incognito tabs, Dor?
So when I show video on the screen, it will always show me when a app price, even if I already bought it.
Ooh, good idea. Good reason. All right.
It's one of the few reasons that makes sense. So I'm talking while I do a lot of clicking here. I'm doing pretty good. We are going to have Mark back here very soon. The one thing I just wanted to throw out there really quick, because I know Mark always likes to do hardware news up front, is I'm going to do this, Eric. I'm going to put a link here in the Chiggity chat. I do not like talking about Kickstarters, because Kickstarter is essentially a gamble, and that's just where I'm going to leave it. You don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what you're going to get, you don't know why, or whatever. Okay, but this is a Kickstarter. As soon as I saw it, because of the price, I got right into it, and it looks like they're going to be shipping this thing literally in like 2 or 3 months, which is unbelievable. It's called, the Kickstarter title is Ultra Slim Laptop with Android 5.1 running Remix OS 2. Remix OS is a much more tabletized, laptop-like Android experience. So it's a very customized Android experience to be much more like a laptop interface. I cannot implore people enough. I played with the end preview with their multi-windows. It absolutely sucks compared to Remix. Remix is 10 times better, at least. I have the Remix Mini, runs great. I have the Remix Ultra, runs great. I like them both a lot. I ran Remix on my Pine 64 for a day or two, ran great. This is a laptop, okay? It is a laptop, period. Where you can get it for $69 if you get in early. If you want, that's 1 gig of RAM, 16 gig of internal storage. If you want 2 gig of RAM, 32 gig internal storage, you pay $89.
Huh.
I love the idea of a disposable grade laptop, and what I mean is a laptop I can take on the road and not fret, and not worry, and not stress. About is it being treated well? Did that drop hurt it? Did this bounce hurt it? I don't have to worry about it. So that's the real reason I got into it. And I can give it to my kid as a portable Android device if he wants to give it a shot too.
It looks like an Ultrabook. You know, when the Ultrabooks first came out, the way the body shaped on it reminds me of like the Asus Ultrabooks when they first came out. Cheap. I mean, why would... It makes you wonder if you'd want this over Chrome OS little laptop for $150.
Well, Chrome OS is just right now getting Android apps. I don't care what anybody says, and I say that knowing nobody says it's a good experience right now. I honestly don't expect it to be a good experience for nearly a year on Chrome. Right now, there's only one Chrome device you can get, and that is the Asus Flipbook. That supports the Android apps. If you just want a Chrome web browsing experience, you can get a $150-ish, $180-ish Chromebook, and it should be just fine. This is literally half of that price. I'm literally going for this just because it's cheap. The entire device is 11.6 inches by 7.8 inches. It's not big. On the edge, on the sides, it does look Ultrabook, or dare I say MacBook Air-like in width. The only ports on it are a micro SD slot, a mini HDMI port, two USB 2.0 ports, and a DC jack. The thickest part of it is 0.7 inch in height.
Which one did you go for?
I went for the 2 gig model, which was $89. They did also announce, and I don't know if you see it here or not, they also did announce a 128 gig version they're going to have, which is going to be running Remix 3.0 and is not going to be shipped until November. The one I'm getting, I believe, is shipping, they think, September. So I'm going for the quicker delivery versus the other options.
I wonder how this would compare to the Dell that I run all the time. My Android tablet here. I mean, it's definitely thicker, this thing is. I'd love to put Remix on this instead of the OS it's got, though. That'd be nice. But I can't do that.
Yeah, and I don't know. See, what I can't speak on is how is the overall performance going to be and how is the battery life going to be. It says it's a all-winter A64 64-bit quad-core processor. I don't know about the battery. Don't know about the life. I don't know about the screen quality. But it literally, to me, was a good gamble. For $89, if I get a turd, I'm just going to let my kid destroy it, have fun with it, whatever. If it's any good, I'm going to use it for a little bit and then ask him to be very nice with it and see how long he can make it last. I'm the guy, I don't give my kid a Ferrari when he turns 16. I give him a piece of junk, and then when he proves to me he's quote-unquote worthy, he gets something nice. And so far, he's been pristine about this, and this is my oldest son, okay? This says it has a 6,000 milliamp battery. Using a rapid charger, you can charge it in 60 minutes using a 1.5-amp fast charger. So that, to me, is a big plus, which also means you're going to have a specialized power jack, power brick for it, which means do not lose it.
Yeah.
Or else. It says it supports 4K output, H.265. I don't know.
But I have high hopes. The price, man. And, I guess it's not the same. It's not Remix. It's not the same company that you've got what are those called? The Jive? Jive.
Yeah.
So it's not made by Jive, but it's still using the Remix OS. You're on Remix OS 2 on your device now? On your
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. On everything, I'm on 2.0. 3.0 literally just got announced days ago, maybe a week. And very, very quickly thereafter, this Kickstarter said, we already have plans for, allowing you to do OTA upgrades up to 3. So they're already sounding smart. They're sounding like they're ready. They're sounding like they're being reactive, and they sound like they're being proactive and getting things done. Everything about it sounds right, quote unquote. 27 days to go. I believe it was only a 60-day pledge, drive, and I think I did do this around 20 days ago. Already pledged $114,000, where they only had a $75,000 goal.
Nice.
So they're well on their way to being 200% funded. The one thing I want to point out, Eric, I find it rare, it seems like, keyboards on laptops that are centered with no numpad on the side, just the keyboard, and with the mouse pad directly in the middle underneath it. I like the idea of having symmetrical layout to where the keyboard is literally in the middle how it should be, and the touchpad is in the middle how it should be. My Lenovo, it has a numpad on it, so the touchpad is shifted to the left, and it's just, to me, a little bit weird.
But your screen must be 15 inches or bigger.
It's 15.
That's the thing. I don't know if too many laptops that are going to have a numpad if you're under 15 inches, just because then they'd have to make the keys too small, and it wouldn't be standardized with the rest of the keyboards in the world and things like that.
Well, then I'm never getting a 15-inch laptop.
There you go. That you never have to worry about a numpad.
Because I really do despise that. It just irks me so much.
Well, since we're speaking of hardware, since I have this Nexus 5X, and Google officially announced Android N is going to be called Android Nougat, which I don't really care for. I don't know. I think Milky Ways suck, and they're the only things I can relate to Nougat. So,
Three Musketeers.
Yeah. Same. I don't like them either.
I just go, there's nothing exciting going on
Nougat
that I can tell with 6.
I haven't really experienced a whole lot with it. So I installed it. Once they got the name, I installed it. So the only thing that I really noticed so far is when I transition and I do my my notification bar, the way it morphs into the settings, morph from one line to three, is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's way more.
When you're talking about multi-user or multi-tasking, I have not done any of that yet, and I don't even know how it works. I haven't even tried it.
You have to hold down a button. I can't remember what it is. I'll say the only thing I don't have on my phone that I think could be interesting is the on tap function, Eric. That's where if you're on any page, you hold down the home button and you get like an extra menu on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
That's about the only thing I think about a newer Android, and that wasn't Nougat. That was actually 6.0. Introduce the on-tap function.
Right.
That's the only function that I know of above my grade that it gives me any interest whatsoever. Hmm. The multi-windowed on a small form factor like this, a phone, I think is mostly pointless.
Yeah.
I think there's rare niche cases where it could be useful. When you get to a tablet, I think it's more useful. But until you get above like a 10-inch tablet, I don't think it's really useful.
Yeah, I mean, copy and paste is the thing I use most if I have to multitask, and using the app switcher or the recent apps thing works just fine for me for copying and paste from one thing to another. So I hold down, drag here to use split screen. Ah, so it's split at the top and the bottom. Okay. App.
Yeah, I believe if you're holding the phone in landscape, what essentially happens is you're going to get two portraits side by side.
What?
If you have it in portrait, you'll get two landscape, one on top of the other. I believe that's the way like the applications react when you put them in that multi-view.
So I had them in portrait already, and then if I just switch it, if I lay the phone sideways, they both automatically go to landscape. So that's, right. That's kind of nice, I guess. Maybe for shopping, where you're comparing prices from one place to the other, it could be a little easier. Well, I mean, you got copy and pasting document parts into something else.
I mean, the only place I see that being useful on a phone, quote unquote, is literally if you're doing something selfie related. You're literally doing a selfie video and you want to be able to read something, or you want to do a selfie and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is literally the only use case I can find for it. And me, I don't take pictures, much less
selfies. If you want to read a speech and watch yourself say it in the camera.
Yeah, sure. I'll get that. But I mean, yeah, I literally listen to stuff like Android Developer Podcast and all these other things where they have legitimate Android developers on, and nothing I'm hearing about 6, I mean about 7, about N, is like, ooh, can't wait for that. Ooh, that could be cool. Ooh, that could be really cool. The only thing that they lean on as being a big thing going forward is Daydream. And to me, that's... if it isn't something I can use in my normal day-to-day routine, I'm not going to do much for it. I don't want my phone to do extraordinary different things than it does already in form function-wise. I want a separate device to do VR stuff, not my phone.
Well, I don't mind using my phone. The only bad thing is every VR case or headset that I get for my phone, I have to take it out of its case because it's pretty thick with this case on it. You know, it's protection.
Gotcha.
But it's not too thick, but it's too thick for most of VR. So that goes back to last week, and you were riding me, well, who's going to be able to find a $2 Google VR cardboard headset, Eric? I'm like, well, I'm sure I can. So, okay, so I found one, and I've got it.
Good man.
We got to figure out a way to give it away, though. This one's actually a little nicer than the other ones I had weren't. This one's not the official Google cardboard either, but it's more similar because the one I had like a little magnet. It was almost like a steel wool cloth to do the button at the top on the right. This one's actually got on the left side the sliding washer. But then this also it's much beefier cardboard. It's not nearly as flimsy as the other ones I've had. But this one also has a strap that you can strap it to your head. I did not put that on there, so whoever ends up winning this, I'll let them set that up. So, I don't know, in case they need to make adjustments of some sort. Because it's just double-sided sticky Velcro to do that. So, Dor, how do we want to give this away? Do we want to do it this week or next week?
Oh, well, I think this week is kind of impromptu. I'm always tempted to say send us emails. We can figure out who to give it to, because right now we are definitely email.
That's a good idea. And you know what? I'm going to be gone for the next two weeks anyway, so we'll get a good pile of emails in here, and then we'll do maybe a random, or we'll figure something out there to give it away. So, yeah.
Right. So I'd say send us an email with an app, an experience, an idea, or a comment and suggestion. And if you want to add on to that why you should get it, feel free to.
Now, I'm just saying, this is not, it's not a $2 cardboard. I don't know if I said that and Dor called me out. I don't know if that really exists. Maybe it doesn't.
So what is it, a $3 cardboard?
I was just looking to see. But yeah, now, do they have to say all that in their email or just
one of those things, either an app or a suggestion or a story or an experience or an idea, whatever.
Okay,
we have a very low barrier of entry here. We don't make you jump through hoops and do stupid things to win a contest. You just email us.
Yeah, this is called, this is a $9.99 cardboard device. It's called the Shark. Of course, it's got SHARKK. It's got two Ks.
Oh, it's 1K away from being a big mistake.
Three Ks? Oh, yeah. Shark. KK for its double dose of canine terror. Anyway, but it's the Shark Google Cardboard High Quality VR Goggles 3D. And one thing it does have, it has the QR code on the side so you can scan it in and set it up with the Google Cardboard on your phone easier. Some of them don't. I've had two headsets that came in with no... For one, they had no QR code, and for two, they had no button at all. So they make it a little tough to do some stuff.
You've got to have the button. Yeah, you either have to have the button, or you have to have a Bluetooth controller ready to rock
and
roll.
Right, that's what they should have had. They did not come with the Bluetooth controller. Not fun.
Well, you know. You mentioned a little bit earlier, Eric, about having the multi-pane window for a copy-paste thing. I want to transition that into my first app. Okay, I copy-paste almost habitually. I'm going to say I probably do it more than the average fella, the average folk. And I've brought all kinds of copy-paste utilities to this show, and most of them, I think, are, you know, most people won't want. But this one, I think, has a chance to be better than the average.
Is there something you hate about the built-in copy-and-paste feature in Android?
It's not enough. Okay. Because what if I want to copy more than one thing? That means I got to copy, go to thing, paste, go back, copy, go back, paste, go back, copy,
that's
go back, paste.
That's the way my whole life has been, I think.
Well, that's not how it is for me. How it is for me now, on my Android device with my TouchPal keyboard at least, I can just copy, 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 go to where I want to go, say, open up my clipboard, and paste what I want when I want, paste what I want when I want, paste what I want when I want. And in fact, it made me shift my thinking on desktop computers, because on desktop computers I always do copy paste copy paste copy paste.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now I have a genuine clipboard manager on my desktop, and it makes me be able to do the same thing. I feel more efficient.
I guess you would. Now I live in Microsoft Office, and it's always copy paste copy paste copy paste.
Right. Now I'll say with that, there is instances where I open up an Android app and I am unable to select text. So I can't copy and paste.
Oh.
And it literally drives me nuts, because then what I end up doing is trying to remember what it said and just hand typing it out myself, which never turns out right, because I spell like an infant. I spell horrible.
Like an infant, even.
It seems like an infant. So the app I found is called Universal Copy by Camel Corporation. 2,300 reviews, completely free. There isn't in-app purchases. Marked E for everyone. It has 4.4 average reviews. It has between 100 and 500,000 installs. Version 1.4.2. So it's newer. What this app allows you to do is to highlight and select text in applications that's normally not highlightable or selectable to actually copy. I gave it a quick test run, because, for instance, when I'm in YouTube, I cannot select a title or the description to copy it out. I literally have to share YouTube out to the browser and then have the ability to do that. But with this app, I'm able to simply launch the app from the notification pane, go back to my app, tap where I want to be highlighted, and magically, blah, it selects the text and puts it in my clipboard.
So it does some optical character recognition, do you think, over the picture of the text? Because wasn't it like Google Plus that would never let you copy out of it too for a long time?
Yes, in Google Plus, there's nothing you can copy text-wise. No, what this does, it somehow gets into the, I don't want to say kernel of the OS, but it gets into the bones of the application and is able to literally select a block of text, even though we can't. Now, if it's text in an image, that's different. If it's literally text that you know is text, but you can't select it, this app will let you highlight it and put it into your clipboard very easily.
Now, does this offer also the multiple copying that you are used to, or are you using this in conjunction with something else to do that?
No, I'm still using my TouchPal keyboard as my repo of what I copied and pasted. I don't think this has a clipboard functionality, but there is a paid version that I did not get yet that I probably will just to support the app, but I did not see any clipboard.
So are you copying this into your other clipboard, or no, that doesn't happen?
No, they both share the same system clipboard. So when I say copy just in straight Android or in this app, it all goes to the same clipboard. TouchPal just keeps a history of what was there and has the ability to recall things from the past. So, like, quite literally, if I copied a link out of Voxer and 3-4 days ago, I can open up my clipboard, go back 3-4 days, and I can find that link.
And it doesn't matter what you copied it with.
Doesn't matter. Nice. Yeah.
Man, why am I not using TouchPal? It seems like every week you tell me another reason I'm missing out on that.
TouchPal is... Okay, keyboards in Android are one of the most personal application choices you can make. There is no right answer. There is no wrong answer. It's all a question of style. Some people like fins. Some people like sleeveless. You know, there is no right or wrong. TouchPal, I love the fact that I can swipe keyboard. I can slide backspace to erase words. I can easily pull up the cursor tool and select blocks of text if I want. Or I can go into clipboard history.
And those super easy for voice for you.
You basically just hold down the space bar and the voice
and
text to speech.
And that is easier because I use the Google card. I use the Google keyboard, and the voice dictation selection is very small on it. It's not as big as like a big space bar or something.
Yeah, and I'll say the plus is. It does not use its own voice dictation. It uses the system voice dictation app. But it literally seems quicker than how you use it in the Google keyboard, in my opinion.
Hmm. All right. TouchPal, I'm going to install that too. And this.
And I'll say, here's a bad thing. And I mean bad as in personally bad. There's no way for me to make a screencast video of my Android device, record my audio, and then show you how the mic works in TouchPal, because everything in Android wants exclusive locks on the microphone. So if I am recording my voice for the screencast, when I hit the mic button in TouchPal, hold down that space bar, it won't work. Because my mic is already being captured to do the screencast. Because I literally tried to do a screencast for it, and it wouldn't let me.
Well, I can understand that, though. I can see how that would not work. So are you using the Frozen keyboard? I see the TouchPal has lots of customized layers of themes and stuff.
No, TouchPal has insane amounts of themes and overlays and stuff. I don't use any one of them. I just use TouchPal keyboard dash cute emoji is the main app. And it's because it does have its own emoji keyboard built in. Which, of course, I don't use.
I see, looking at the reviews for TouchPal, Joe Heck says it spams you with notifications. Do you get that?
Once every week to 2 weeks, I get one thing in my notification bar saying you can back up your stuff and share it across devices.
I guess if it's that good, it's worth it.
No, it's very easy. If you don't like app notifications, simply see the notification, tap the notification, hold the notification. Information icon appears. Click the information icon, click the button that says do not allow notifications, and you'll never see a notification again.
Oh, that's a simple way to do it.
Yeah, Android does its best to give you a simple solution to any problem that can come up because of an application.
All right, you sold me, Dor. TouchPal is installed.
Well, what I would ask, try to use it for a good week. Come next week. Tell me how much
it
sucks.
I'm going to use it for 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Universal Copy is installed. I'm going to try to use that also. Two good apps.
Yeah, if you find yourself not able to copy text and it just drives you nuts, here's a solution.
It seems like I've had that issue before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to bring an app. I'm giving you the Play Store link, but this app is actually, I hate to say it that way, it's actually free on Amazon Play Store, but it's $5 in the Google Play Store.
I already know what it is as soon as you say that.
Yeah. So have you been playing with this yet? It's Goat Simulator.
No.
Waste of Space.
It's the quote-unquote game I'm terrified to even let my kids know exist.
Well, it's like you're in the offices of Kickstarter, but they call it Crowd Kicker instead. And somehow it's out in space. I haven't gotten real far in this game at all, Dor, so it looks like you can drive spaceship units and space cars. I haven't got to any of that. I just keep walking around this office getting stuck and can't figure anything out. So you're a better goater and a better gamer.
Okay, well, first off, there's studies now saying man's best friend should be goats, not dogs, because goats understand human emotions more.
Really?
Anything that screams like a human, I don't want in my house or around my house, and goats do that, so... the problem with this game is it's not a game. It's like Martin Obando's unjoke or non-joke. Guy with a big orange head walks into the bar, and somebody asks him, "Hey, why do you have a big orange head?" And he said, "Well, I had three wishes, blah, 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 blah. And for the third wish, I said, give me a big orange head." It isn't a joke. This is not a game. This is a simulation, is the best way to put it, because all you do is just walk around and do stuff, experience stuff. And Coffee Stain Studios makes it a point, they do not take any bugs out of the game that do not make the game crash. If the bug makes the game crash or can lead to a crash, they'll go back and fix the bug. Everything else they purposefully leave in. And some of the bugs are rewards, because this is closer to being like achievement system. If you go around and jump off a 10-story building, you'll get points for the suicide achievement or something. If you lick three people in 30 seconds, you'll get the liquor contest or whatever. And with those achievements, you get points. And with those points, you unlock different capabilities, which I'm sure will be at more advanced spaceships and stuff like that. But there really is. This is the quintessential, makes no sense thing.
It's hilarious too. While you're so I just got to play it longer and keep grinding at it, and I will get farther then.
And try the stupidest things you can possibly imagine, and the most destructive things you can possibly imagine, and they will end up being points. Now, some of them will make crazy sense. Like, all of a sudden, you'll accidentally find out you can go inside an air shaft, and as soon as you get inside the air shaft, you'll get the Die Hard bonus.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's all kinds of little crazy things like that hidden, but it's not a game. That's the whole thing. It really isn't. It is the gamification of bugs.
And the thing that just puts this game, this simulation over the top, is the tongue. And the things that happen with the goat's tongue. I never imagined a goat having a long tongue, but in all of these goat simulator games, you can basically drag people around by your tongue, and it stretches out to 3 yards, 3 meters, whatever. So I bring this. If you have an Amazon account and you can check it out for free, I suggest do it. Or just pay $5 in the Play Store.
Yeah, and the tongue has some physics behind it where you can, whip people around and it has like delayed reaction, but your tongue is literally like one of the strongest things in the verse. You can attach your tongue to anything, and if you pull hard enough, you will drag it. It could be a car, a tanker truck, whatever, and you will carry it around with you.
Okay, Dor, you know a lot about these Goat Simulator games. What's the point
Goat Simulator, yes.
The Goat Simulator, you know not much about. What's the point of the button where just it makes you go limp and fall to the ground?
If you get like stuck inside of a wall, sometimes that button will release you. And you'll fall, and then you hit the button again, and then voila, you're unstuck from the wall.
Okay, gotcha.
Or if you're falling and you do that, you'll start to like flap in the wind. You'll do all kinds of stupid stuff. And
what's interesting about this, for $5, there are no in-app purchases after that. You get the whole entire game of Goat Simulator Waste of Space. And at first I thought maybe it was just a waste of space on my device because it was a large download.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, I keep wanting to say it's based off of a Quake engine, but please don't repeat that because I'm probably completely wrong. But yeah, I remember on the first one we got, it was literally like almost a 2 gig download. Mm-hmm. Where on my kid's first phone, we had to delete everything off the app. We had to get rid of some of the Google apps just to fit the damn thing on his phone.
What do you got, Dor? That's enough of the Goat Simulator.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about it because it's unique and it's different and it's trying something that no other game has tried before.
It's trying it very successfully. This franchise is huge now. Probably one of the biggest on Play Store.
I know, but it's ungodly stupid. You know what I mean? That's
what makes it fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's the word I was thinking of. Okay, I'll put the link there in the notes in the chat. Sorry, put the notes in the chat for you there. I'm bringing up this game because it was on sale. It was normally, I believe, $5 or $6 even. Maybe even $7. It was not cheap, I know that. Right now it's on sale for $1.99. I immediately knee-jerk react and boom, bought it for the kid. It's called Lego Marvel Super Heroes by, of course, Warner Brothers International Enterprises. Action-adventure genre. $1.99 to buy. Does also have in-app purchases. And that's the sign of a slimy game, I will say that. Like you said, Goat Simulator, you buy it and you're done. I love that. That's good. You know what you're getting. You're done. In this game, you cannot advance from any level to any other level, me and my son believe at least, without collecting every single coin in the level. Mm. But of course, if you're having a hard time finding all the coins, you can just buy some. I think that's a horrible mechanic. It's a horrible way to allow people to move forward. It definitely caused some frustration for us. But I will say the devil's advocate part was when we weren't frustrated, it was a really fun game, really well-built game, really well-put-together game, all kinds of superheroes in it, all kinds of supervillains in it, Incredible Hulk, Spidey, Doc Ock, Fantastic Four people, Captain America, Doctor Doom, on and on and on and on. That's what he liked about it. He liked, oh, now I'm seeing this guy. Oh, now I'm seeing that guy. He thought that was one of very cool. If you are a Marvel person, I think you're going to get this and like this, is what I'll say.
What a great time to be a kid. You got all these superhero movies coming out. You got all these superhero games that are on these cool little pieces of glass that light up in your hands. This is cool. I don't know of these. I don't know where I was at. I don't know of superheroes. I never knew who Iron Man was. I knew Spider-Man and Batman because of the TV shows, and that was it.
Well, and you remember Spider-Man from the horrible TV show. Have you tried to go back and watch that show, Eric?
I can imagine. Everything I've tried to go back and watch is horrible.
Yeah, because the late 70s Spider-Man live-action television show is possibly the worst television series I've ever seen in my life. That's how bad it
was. Wasn't the spider web just kind of like a net in that show?
Everything about it was horribly cheap. I mean, it's the kind of thing you look at it today, and there's no doubt in your mind, a 9-year-old child with a touch of ambition could do better. I mean, that's how technology was. That's how far we were. I mean, this was the day you couldn't really do overlays. In football games, we had big blocky yellow letters that said, New York, 7, Buffalo, 14. I mean, it looked horrible because we didn't know what we were doing. And watching that show reminded me just how far we've came, because I tried to watch an episode of it. But yeah, we had nothing like this. I mean, the best we had was Knight Rider.
Yeah, well, he's not a superhero, though. You know what?
No, but he kind of was. I mean, he was super sexy. I
mean, sorry. Sean Johnson, yeah. If I look over on the side with the other suggested apps, I guess I forgot a couple. I remember watching Wonder Woman and Batman and Robin also.
Oh, Wonder Woman. I remember watching me some Wonder Woman.
Whoa, that was super creepy.
let me tell you something. Linda Carter, and I can't remember what the bracelets were called. Gauntlets of whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No lasso of truth. And I have to agree. I'll just say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to repeat it. But if you look up YouTube, Dave Chappelle, Wonder Woman, I agree with everything he said.
Never seen that.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Is that the new Dave Chappelle or the old one?
I'm pretty sure it's old. Pretty sure it's pretty old. But yeah, I mean, and we had the Super Friends cartoon where Aquaman was maybe the most worthless superhero ever imagined in that show. If you didn't know Aquaman outside of that show, you literally thought he was the guy that brings shrimp to parties because he can't do anything else.
Oh, what'd you say, Endor?
I'm saying he was portrayed in that show as a horrible superhero. Bring
shrimp to parties.
Well, then you're Aquaman. You didn't even know.
I like water.
There you go. Huh. Do you often hear like songs in your head when you're swimming? Dun, 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 dun. Maybe.
I don't have to go swimming. Find out. So I make a shrimp dip. Is that the same? Where I take could a plate. Be, yeah. Hey, those of you guys who need to go to a party need a quick fix to take to something. And it's just an appetizer. I mean, it's not. If you're going to a potluck and you're supposed to make a casserole, you don't bring this.
For 3/4 of the United States and the rest of the world, what's a potluck, Eric?
A potluck is where everybody brings something to eat, and it's usually like 40 people bring something and 80 people eat it. Churches. If you go to a church, you'll have a potluck. So you just take a piece of china plate, you know, nice plate, and you lay down a bed of cream cheese all over. Just smear it with a spoon all over the bottom of the plate.
Okay.
You do that. Then you take a half a bottle of, I like Hoffman House, but usually Hoffman House cocktail sauce, shrimp sauce. Half a bottle of that, pour that right on top of that cheese, and then spread it all the way around with a spoon. And then you go and buy you some bumblebee tiny shrimp in the can. Squeeze all the water out of that. And these are little tiny shrimp. And you sprinkle that over top of all of that.
Well, they're not really shrimp as far as I'm concerned. They're like shrimpettes.
Well, okay. I mean, they're tiny shrimp. That would be a shrimpette, I guess. It says it on the can, tiny shrimp. I mean, that's a good descriptor. Is it a different species, you think?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing you have going for you is Alton Brown believes a shrimp only has so much flavor. When they get so big, the flavor is diluted, so smaller shrimp typically taste more. Okay.
I don't know Alton Brown, but I like him because that's a good point.
How do you not know Alton Brown? He's a smart guy.
So then you sprinkle these shrimp evenly across the whole plate, and then you buy a box of Ritz, and people just take the Ritz, dip it into this. It's awesome. So if you want to be that, and people like get mad at me for not bringing it. They're like, well, you didn't bring the shrimp dip? Or are you going to bring the shrimp dip? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bring the shrimp dip. It's cool. And I try to tell like my nephew and stuff, just learn how to do this, and people will like you. At the part, because people like the shrimp dip. And I'm like, you could be this guy. You could be the guy who you get mad at if I don't bring it. I try to help the kid out, but he'd rather just me bring it.
You're only one man, Eric.
It's pretty inexpensive. I know, a box of Ritz, some cream cheese, and a little shrimp. Probably $8-$10 maybe. All right, Doris, seems like I need to be bringing these VR apps every week. So this one is just a little trip through a town. It's called Android's Dream Cardboard VR by Doni Tasmoni.
Doni Tasmoni. That right there deserves some kind of award.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Tamazoni. Tamazoni. Doni Tamazoni.
But I have to believe they're just trying to suck off the infant teat of SEO by naming it Android's Dream, trying to hook on that SEO of Daydream. Unless it's literally a dreamlike activity.
It is. So you're
okay. Well, that helps.
It's based in the future, and basically you are in some kind of flying car with, for some reason, has both of the rearview mirrors shot out, flying through this huge town in the future, and then you go to a parking space, and then it's done.
So are you on rails?
No. Well, I mean, you're not. No, you cannot control the car. You're just a passenger.
Okay.
So yeah, you're on rails.
Then you're on rails.
But it's just a one more small. I mean, basically, you could think that Donnie may have a bigger scheme for this, and this maybe be like a cutscene for a larger game.
Right.
That's what I feel like, you know. And you can look around, you know, inside the car, the driver, and other cars are passing you and stuff through the air. Oh, and I got to say that cardboard that we're going to give away, the optics in it are much better. I tried my old cardboard in this one. The new one that I'm giving away has much better magnifying glasses, I guess, whatever they are.
Lenses. The little lenses, yeah.
The lenses, yeah. At least for my eyes, were much better on this newer one.
And I'm going to tell you, the depth of where the lenses are at and the quality of the lenses could make or break the experience, I will say that.
It was much, much more crisp and clear. The old one was, the other one did not have the same experience. But yeah, it's just basically, it's kind of an, I don't know if it's in China, some huge, huge town in the future.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at this, the thing that went through my head was maybe like Hong Kong type industrialized, built up city.
And the interior of the car is pretty cool. It's got little monitors and lights and stuff all over the. It's kind of like Kit. We were talking about Knight Rider earlier.
Well, I wouldn't go that far now. And I'll say, ironically, maybe, I don't know, you said how there's no mirrors. I literally was watching a thing the other day where they believe very, very soon there's going to be no side mirrors on cars. What we're going to have is projected right there to us, the driver. It's going to look like side mirrors, but they're actually inside of the car displays where you're going to have just little niches on the side where cameras are going to be pointing out of, and we're going to be seeing the monitor's viewpoint
because,
when we look at our
because mirrors. They cause that much extra drag on the car that they should take them off of the sides and put electronics instead.
I'll tell you, the mirrors, the biggest reason right now the mirrors fold in, a lot of people might believe it's for parking, and when you park and you park your hootie-tootie SUV, you can fit in smaller spaces. No, they have the mirrors like that primarily for shipping reasons, because they can literally then fit X amount more vehicles on a ship. Because if you've ever seen those things parked, you literally, and when they have no mirrors or the mirrors fold in, you literally have less than like a half an inch between each vehicle. I don't know how the hell they're able to do it, and it was such ridiculous repetitive precision, but they
robots.
Do. But no, it's real people. They get paid decent money too. Those guys.
How do they get out of the car
once in a while? They simply algorithmically park. Where the first guy that parks, his passenger door is against something. He gets out the driver's side. When he gets out, the next guy comes in and parks. So you got to be quick. You got to be prompt. Got to be well timed. But part of the reason you're getting rid of the mirrors is because when you are in an accident, sometimes the mirrors fly off and come in the window, shattered glass kind of thing. So if it's just a little nib right there with a camera pointing out, there's nothing to hit, and it's going to make it much easier to park these things in mass.
There's a bank that I go to that every truck has to do that, though. They have to fold their mirrors in, or they'll take out the tubes, you know, the overhead tubes for some reason. Oh, and by the way, back to this app real quick. I was just reading one of the reviews, and it's by Steven Nazagian. It says, the publishers are afraid of getting sued, so I'll say it. This app opens up a portal into a hauntingly beautiful cityscape world strongly reminiscent of Blade Runner, the movie. Sci-fi fans will recall that Blade Runner was based on a short story by Philip Dick entitled Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? So that's where he gets the Android's dream. The visuals and music in this VR app are breathtaking, and even though you might call this a parking the car app, you will love it and be left longing for more. Best experienced in a reclining swivel chair. Well done, he says. Well written, right. Steven. Good job.
Well, and yeah, Kana, I do remember what androids may dream. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Makes a hell of a lot of sense. And I can see what they're saying where it's Blade Runner-esque. I can definitely see that.
Donny Tamazoni says, thank you. You understand the tribute. I am very glad to read that. So Attaboy, Donnie. That's cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool, but I still think it's like a 15-minute app and you're done.
If that. But it's free, so what do you
do? I don't know. It's 154 reviews, 10,000, 5,000, 10,000 install, only version 1.0, so that's not horrible numbers for being at version 1, unless, of course, he's never going to rev it, because it looks like he's never going to rev it.
It could be his tribute.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to quote John Mad Dog Hall. Sometimes software doesn't need to be updated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
All right, Dor. What's your next app?
Okay. Next app I'm going to bring is a truly, truly stupid, in my opinion, app that my kids kind of really like. So I'm going to bring it. I don't even know how to pronounce this word right.
I like
Rapala.
Come on, Dor. You're a fish. You never fish. It's a Rapala.
I despise fishing.
Really?
There's no better way to incredibly make somebody irate and upset with ADHD than to tell them to cast a rod and then just stand there. You want me to do what? Stand here and do nothing. Just feel for a bite. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing.
You got an Android phone you can fiddle with while you're waiting for your thing to get a bite.
No, because then you're not going to miss the bite. My kids like this game. The one thing I liked about this game was you do not wing your phone around like you're casting it. Because I was terrified of that when I saw it. But you literally flick up on the screen to do the casting. Let's go back.
This is Rapala Fishing Daily Catch. By Concrete.
And it's a daily catch because every day you can literally get extra bonuses if you go into the game.
Oh, okay.
And if it does have notifications on it, I can't remember because over a month ago I clicked and said, don't show me notifications. But yeah, by Concrete Sports Inc., 28,000 reviews, completely free to download. The in-app purchases are extra areas you can go into or super advanced rods or lures or even, I do believe there's some kind of fish finder thing you can get when you're in higher levels. My kids don't really want all that. They just want, when they're bored, to be able to flick and catch a fish.
From a top developer, I remember, I don't know if you've ever played them, they had these plastic fishing pole handheld games for a while, back when it was still like Nintendo, but you would cast it, and it had a little buzzer in there, like a vibration module inside the thing, so you could feel the bites. And that was such a real experience for me, even though it was just a little crappy LCD screen with like very little graphics on it. But it really simulated fishing well. Does this use the vibration in the phone in the same way to let you know that you're getting a bite?
Well, and you can see it. When you cast it out, imagine, if you will, the camera is like 5 feet in front of the lure on the line looking back at the lure at all times. Okay. So you're always seeing the lure and seeing what's going on, even if it's murky water. But of course, when it's murky water, you can't see as much. But yes, as soon as you see the fish hit, you feel the zzz. Mm. But then every time the fish pulls back and makes the line too taut or jumps, you also get the vibration. And if you play it even a little bit, you'll get to see, I don't want to say the patterns of the fish, but you'll be almost predicting, oh, he's going to jump here because he's not doing anything else. He's going to jump. And then he jumps.
Oh, this looks fun. Would you recommend playing this on a phone rather than a tablet, you think?
I can't see it being a lot more enjoyable on a tablet. I think it's probably better on a phone. Yeah, I'll say this is enough to keep my kids occupied and busy. It was completely free, so I don't mind it being on my devices. The diversity of fishes I think is cool because, like, even my youngest son said, like to my dad, because he likes pronouncing things that he knows, claiming things he knows, like, Pop, did you know a catfish is not a cat, but has whiskers? You know, just stuff like that, that he just, you know, thinks that he figures out all on his own. So I thought the diversity of the fish and the surroundings looked good enough, and the interactivity was you cast, and typically within 3 or 5 seconds, you either get a nibble or a real heavy tease of the nibble, so you don't got to wait incredibly long amount of time. Yeah.
That's a little too easy.
Well, if you just go out in the middle of the lake and cast, you're going to get nothing.
Oh, okay.
But if you go toward the nook where there's some marsh or something, you cast, you're going to get hits.
It was my 4th of July dream this year, Dor, was to go out into my canoe by myself and go fishing out of the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my phone. I was listening to podcasts the entire time. Had it in a waterproof container thing, a little waterproof thing. And it was very enjoyable. I got out there early, drank a cup of coffee the entire time, caught 3 sheephead and a catfish.
Sheephead?
That is a fish. It looks like a sheep.
Okay.
That's why.
That sounds disgusting.
They are. I mean, if they're big enough, you could eat them, but they're just kind of a junk fish you throw back. And so, you know what coffee does to you when you drink it was this cup. When you drink one of these full of coffee and then go sit in the water.
Probably got to pee.
Yeah, probably got to pee. So I was out there, I caught those fish and I was heading back, and then some dude on the bank wanted to talk, and he talked for about a half an hour about how he keeps getting kicked out of the mall because he's obnoxious. And he started talking to me about politics and told me I need to go back and watch the Blues Brothers again. So I turned him on to Idiocracy. I'm like, if you're going to tell me what movie I got to watch, you got to go watch this one.
Right.
Yeah. But Rapala fishing, I'm going to install this door. That's fun.
Well, see, here's the quote unquote feature that made me keep the game on. And it says, quote unquote, unlimited fishing, fish all day without timers or like energy to restrict your gameplay. So there's no, oh, you ran out of this, you gotta wait, or you gotta buy something.
Buy some coins.
You literally can just fish all day.
That's cool. And Concrete Software, they've been around for a while. They've made some really good games. I'm glad that they're doing the right way, where they're not like King and, you know, making $1.5 million a day. Well, maybe these guys gotcha. Are. Who knows? But they're doing it in a better way that kids can have fun.
Yeah, so Rapala or whatever, it's a brand name?
Rapala is a brand name of fishing lures.
Oh, don't say. Yeah, okay.
And I don't have luck when I go fishing with fishing lures, honestly, in real life. I might do good on this game, but in real life, if I don't have, like, worms or live bait, I don't do too good.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say bait is the under... Okay, technically, Eric, I've won fishing awards back when I was a kid in contests and tournaments and stuff. Doesn't mean I don't hate it. I despise fishing. Because back when I was forced to, quote unquote, forced to do it, there was nothing to keep me preoccupied. And with being ADHD, there was almost no greater torture I could think of, except maybe listen to my sister read a book or something. You know, I just, there was nothing more torturous I could think of in my youth.
Do you think that's why you won the tournament, though? Maybe because you were like, this sucks.
No, in typical,
if I catch something, at least I won't be bored. No, I'm going to catch something in this tournament.
No. In typical fishing, and in some hunting instances, it's 90% dumb luck. And then it's just the 10% of, do you not mess up?
Yeah, I know.
I was sitting there, and apparently the fish, like, literally swallowed the hook, pooped it out, and swallowed it again. It was so hooked, you know what I mean? And I brought it in.
And it was a
rainbow trout. And it was a big rainbow trout. For me being small, this thing was literally like 8 inches. This thing was
But it was
big.
Skewered all the way through with your line?
Well, no, it was like, obviously, it couldn't get off the hook. Because me, big dummy, hey, well, my rod's moving. Look at the rod, it's moving. Well, reel it in. Well, it's moving. Reel it in. Oh. And, you know, of course, I reel it the wrong way. And then I spin it around in my hands. And then, like, you know, it literally takes, like, 3 minutes to reel it in, even though, we're on the CNO Canal, which is only, like, 10 feet wide or 20 feet wide. It isn't big. And yet it took me forever to... fish shiny. It was a rainbow trout, so it had like a rainbow hue to it kind of thing. And it was the biggest one caught that day, so I won an award.
Nice. I'm familiar with canals. That's where I went fishing. And you say dumb luck. I actually, the catfish, I caught with a bobber and a grub, which is kind of odd. Normally, you're going to catch them on the bottom with a worm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking I was going to catch a crappie or a bluegill or something. And the one time I catch a catfish, it was something I totally was not going for.
Yeah, I mean, literally less than a mile and a half from my house, my mother-in-law lives, best mother-in-law in the universe. We can go over her house, walk out of her back door to the edge of her property with a fishing rod, cast it right in there, and it's basically, I believe, it used to be an island, now it's not, now it's a peninsula. They still call it an island, I don't know why, but there's channels that come off and then come into the neighborhood. So if you were to get into her water, you'd have to take a sharp left, go down like a quarter of a mile, then turn to the right, and then you can go out into the Chesapeake Bay eventually if you go far enough. So right there's water. You can literally just walk up to the back, put in the rod, boom, 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 and you can catch bluegill and, you know, stuff.
Yeah, those are fun.
But I literally, I would rather go to the edge of the water and saw off my toes.
Oh, jeez, man.
That's how I feel about... Bluegill
fishing's not that boring.
And it doesn't matter. I'm Irish. My DNA was tempered for generations inside of bars, not out in the sun. So if I go out in the sun for any length of time, I get burnt like a lobster.
No, I'm not filleting fish. We eat potatoes.
Exactly. Give me taters, man. But I digress. Right. After 20 minutes, I digress.
Okay, since I was talking to that gentleman, this is the segue episode, because we don't have a segue app, or at least I don't know that we do yet. But
yeah.
So I'm segueing from that app into another one. So the guy on the shore was talking to me how I needed to go back and watch more of the Blues Brothers. And then he also said I should look up Benny Goodman and check him out because he's the best too. Which
Benny Goodman's been dead for like 30 years, hasn't he?
This guy was young, okay. But he was also telling me that so there's this thing called the Bix. It's a big running race. Sean Johnson will probably be there. It's a marathon or whatever. And he's telling me that everybody's too chicken to go with him to it, to be his wingman or whatever, water delivery certain person. And he couldn't find anybody to go with him, so he was kind of hinting that I should. I have no idea who this dude is, so I wasn't going to go with him. Let alone it's probably on a weekend that I'm not home or got something going on anyway. So anyway, I told him to go watch Idiocracy. So that must have put it in my head. So I watched Idiocracy a couple days later. And then I was, during the show, I was like, man, I really wish this was my ringtone. Dora, do you think I could play a little bit of my ringtone?
A second or two, yeah.
Because I don't want to get us banned from YouTube or podcasts. Awards or anything like that. So I found a door helped me. Well, so anyway, this was the ringtone that I wanted to get. Wow, maybe I'm not going to find it. My downloads. I went back to downloads history. Okay, so this was the ringtone I wanted. And if anybody's heard this, this is right when Joe discovers that his capsule opens up and he discovers the new world 500 years into the future in the movie Idiocracy. And I just love that part of the movie, and I just like that tune. So what I did is I downloaded an app called Ringtone Maker MP3 Cutter because I never realized it, and I guess I never needed it. I'm going to put two apps in here, actually, Dora, back to back, because I didn't know that my Nexus 5S didn't have a voice recorder built into it. I just assumed that was part of Android, but maybe it was always Samsung that had it. So I downloaded HiQ MP3 Voice Recorder by Audiophile. I basically held my hand up to the speaker and recorded it with that. But then I had a little bit of background noise a little bit before it got a little too early and a little too long in the end. So this Ringtone Maker MP3 Cutter worked in two ways. Not only did it let me trim the beginning and the end of it, but it also let me then make it my ringtone, because even with the MP3 I had, I couldn't just hold down on that audio file and make it my ringtone for some reason. It wouldn't just go into the right folder for me or anything. I don't know what the deal was with that. So I downloaded VLC, played it with that, and made it my ringtone from that first. But then this Ringtone Maker does all that. So anyway, back to it. I used the HiQ MP3. All the stuff that I just said can all be done with Ringtone Maker MP3 Cutter by Me Hillman. And if you ever have a sound, like for a while, I think it was when I had my BlackBerry, I recorded the sound of my car idling because it's got 400 Pontiac engine, really loud glass pack mufflers, and that was my ringtone. So anytime you want to record any kind of sound and make that your ringtone, this is a good app to make it work.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure if you would have put the MP3 on your SD card in the folder off the root called Ringtones, you shouldn't have to reboot your phone, but then I think you can go right into your system sound the notification ringtones and pick it there. But I'm not, but I do think now that I say that, it might not just have to be an MP3, but something like 30 seconds long, or, you know, something else to it besides just.
Well, that was another thing too. I didn't have ES File Explorer installed anymore. I didn't have any kind of a file explorer to do that with. So, you know, there was multiple fails on my part to make this simple thing happen, which ended up, it would have been a much more simple thing had I just used a different app, which Dore berated me with right before the show. It's like, well, didn't you look on Zedge? Of course I didn't. I should have looked on Zedge. I think I've looked there before, you know. And so you type in Idiocracy into Zedge, two ringtones pop up. One of them is Dr. Lexus, which would make an awesome notification sound, honestly. But, yeah, and the song, the one I just played, was already on Zedge, so I didn't even need to do any of this stuff, because Zedge has everything. Z-E-D-G-E, well, but, if you need ringtones and wallpapers.
Well, if it's at all, if there is some kind of audience for it, there's a chance it's on Zedge. If it's literally, you're looking for a clip from a movie from 20 years ago from this one guy who said this one thing that you think and nobody else think is hilarious, you're going to need something like this ringtone maker app. If it's at all popular, and I got to say, that song has something to it. It's more than just the arrangement of notes and instruments. That song, when you hear it, it just fits. It fit near damn perfectly in the movie somehow. Yeah. And when I hear it, it just puts a
And, if you're looking for that song, it's Nuevos Tiempos, which I'm going to say is, and it says it's in the category of Bollywood on here, but I think that that means New Times in Spanish.
Well, and I'll say this, Idiocracy, not family friendly at all whatsoever in any shape, way, or form.
Really?
Not family. Yeah.
I've always watched it with my family. What?
A movie where it's one of its main characters is a prostitute has a hard time being family friendly. I'm just going to say.
There's no nudity in this movie. There is a lot of cussing just because that's all people can do in the future. They don't know any other words.
Yes. And that's enough.
I suppose so. It depends on how old your family is.
Yeah. And how much they see, how much they know, how much they realize. I know. I will say that. But yeah, it's a kind of movie I feel like I just have to watch every so often just because.
Well, OLF's coming up, so there you go.
Okay, I'm going to bring one more here, Eric, and it's a paid app that I haven't bought yet.
Okay.
And there might be a free version of it, I don't know, but I've been, I don't want to say disappointed, I've been looking for a replacement app. You know, like how we have these apps, we've been doing this for so long, we have apps on our phone that turns out, we stop and think about it, we've had this app on all of our phones for the last 5 years. There has to be something better out there. I have a torrent installed as my default torrent app downloader. And it isn't like I download a lot of torrents, but I do download torrents once in a while. A torrent works good. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's definitely acting and looking dated. This one I thought had a little bit better of a look, and it sounds like it has very good features and functionality, and it has views, very good views of what's going on. It's called Flood, F-L-U-D, ad-free by Delphi Studio. Delphi Software. E for everyone, $1.50 to buy. So it's not a lot to buy. 3,200 reviews, 4.8 is the store. Between 10,000, 50,000 installs. Just had an update on June 22nd. No version number reported. Yeah,
they do have a free version with ads.
143. Yeah, I really don't like ads. If you look at the screenshots, it's like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh screenshot to me is the kind of thing I love having just up, and then every now and then just glancing out to see progress. It's basically they take the file or the torrent result, break it up into a grid of squares.
Oh.
Gray squares aren't downloaded yet. Blue squares are downloaded yet. So from across the room, you can very easily see, have I made progress? Am I making good progress? You know, am I close to getting done? That kind of thing is just a little plus that I just like having available on my software tools.
I used to spend hours watching disk defragmenter on Windows 95 2-door.
Exactly, exactly. It harkens back to Spinrite and Disty Frag days and check this days kind of thing. So it's only $1.50 for the paid version. I'm probably going to buy it and just see if I can make that my standard, because A-Torrent has not been updated, I believe, in like 3 years.
Okay. I don't do torrents. Is it mostly for, I mean, can you search from this to look for stuff? I see that they're downloading Arch Linux 2014. Is that the, if you were to download a distro or an APK, not an APK, what am I saying? Like a ROM, is torrents the way you would normally do those kind of things?
ROMs typically no. The best thing, the best reason to do ROMs is your 100% sure of the file in integrity. That's why I like ROMs. That's me. I will say there is no searching tool inside here. So what happens is you in your web browser find what you're looking for or whatever. Download the .torrent file and it will open with this application. Gotcha. And I gotta say, there's nothing new. There's nothing revolutionary that's happened with torrents in the last whatever number of years. So it's an old, stable technology, kind of like email. And I only really use it when I go to a website and download anything, whether it be an image for a Pi device or a Linux distribution. If I see I can download via a torrent, I typically option for that just because I'm assured it's going to be exactly the right bits that it's supposed to be.
Very cool. I don't do torrents. It's a great way to distribute software, though. I mean, when you've got everybody's got a little bit of it on their computer and they all throw it at you from 18 different directions, and you get it much faster that way. Instead of pure point to point, it's pure multiple peers to one peer.
Yeah, I'll say if you don't need to keep accurate download numbers and you're distributing anything, whether it be a song, a disk image, or whatever, torrent is always the way to go just because the bandwidth is much easier to handle, and you can download ridiculously fast if other people see it.
I've got one more app tonight, Dor, and this is a follow-up on last week's show where I can't remember who was asking, but one of the listeners sent an email asking about Lightning data apps.
Oh, yeah.
So I found Storm Alert Lightning and Radar by Mark Eads, and this purportedly, it does have in-app purchases, and it has it logs you in to some sort of Lightning data subscription where there must be a Lightning service or something, maybe by the National Weather Service or something, but that costs you $2.99 a year to be enrolled in that. But if you are enrolled in that, say, I don't know if our listener's a kite flyer, an airplane pilot, lightning rod installer or what, but if you need to know, or even an umpire at a baseball game, if you need to know if there's lightning within 50 miles of you, this app with that subscription will give you notifications, a push notification when there's lightning strikes anywhere near you. I haven't used the app much, and you know what? I just see that they've got augmented reality. See storm and lightning in real time around you through your camera. I have not tried that part yet. But so I was going to – I installed the app, and I was going to check it out. We had a little bit of a storm today, but not enough to really – use it on, and I wanted to go ahead and do the whole thing and get the Lightning subscription too. But when I went to the in-app purchase, because this must be like the National Weather Service or whatever, it wouldn't let me pay with Google Play. I had to use my credit card to subscribe. I suppose maybe because it is a subscription, that way the credit card number will probably be still there next year when I need to resubscribe, rather than my Google Play account, which may be down to zero by then, I guess. I don't know. I just thought that I was dismayed by that, so I did not buy the upgrade.
Gotcha. Yeah, I will say, if you need to be alerted that lightning's coming for anything, whether you climb antennas or towers or radio towers, or like you said, an umpire, you're responsible for other people, or even a lifeguard at a public pool, to have that notification of lightning is coming, I think is honestly very cool, even though I am the anti-weather guy.
Not as much as Steve.
Because Steve C's gone, somebody has to fill that role.
It actually says, if a thunderstorm or lightning is detected within a radius of 5, 10, 20, or 30 miles, you'll automatically receive a notification in the notification bar. So I guess you could set it up.
And it's only $3 a year.
Yeah.
Me not being a weather guy, that seems unbelievably reasonable. $3 a year. I mean, that's nothing. That's the price of a Venti Latte drink from Starbucks.
Yeah. You know what? It's probably less than whatever you just said.
I have no idea. So I think I'm not a weather guy whatsoever, but I still think it's a really good find.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it installed. I know we'll have more storms before this summer's over. We just got nailed the other day, and actually, before the show, I was telling Dora I got water in my basement the first time, so that's kind of dismaying. I got to figure that out. All right, well, do you have anything else you want to say to our peeps out there listening, Dora?
I just want to thank everyone for their support. Thanks for everyone who does support us on Patreon, patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. I say that, and I'm not sure if we have links in the notes to that. I want to thank everyone for their support there. That is the absolute frictionless way to bribe us to keep moving forward and keep producing podcasts. If you just want to support the network in general, podnuts.com/Amazon is super easy. If you want to send in a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT, don't forget that's always available. And again, emails, aaa@podnuts.com. If you want yourself a $12 cardboard, ping us. In 3 weeks, we'll do everything in our power to get
it. Yeah, and if you're bashful typing, go ahead and use the voicemail. That's fine, too. We'll come.
Yeah.
And I want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. Tell your friends about this show. If you got a friend who freaks out about storms and they're into lightning, or if you know an umpire or lifeguard or somebody who needs to know and get notifications when they get lightning in the area, tell them about this app and tell them where you heard it. And tell them, hey, just listen to this part of this Android App Addict show and see if you would like that before you install it. All right, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.